My beloved brethren and sisters, in all humility and gratitude, I ask for your prayers and your faith in this great and humbling and sacred assignment that has been given me. To our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to President Ezra Taft Benson, our prophet, seer, and revelator, I pledge that I will do my best, that I will do all I can to build up the kingdom of God here upon the earth. As I left President Benson's office the other day, I was in deep shock, and still am. And I suppose that will linger for many years. But I will do my best in whatever assignment is given me. To my beloved father, I pay tribute, my earthly father, who taught me humility, diligence, honesty, and trustworthiness, and a love of the Constitution of our beloved country, and also to revere and honor God's chosen servants, and especially the prophet. To my mother, who saw a glimpse of the eternity beyond several nights prior to her passing, I pay tribute also, first for life itself, and then for the great lessons of life she would never permit a shoddy performance, and in addition, made sure that us children didn't take too long to accomplish it. To my beloved wife, Elisa, she is similar, I'm sure, to Rebecca of old. And if she were one of the pioneers, even coming from perhaps New York City with a handcart, she would probably be the first to arrive. She has never put a feather in my way for church service, and she has reared our children in truth and righteousness. To our eight children, seven wonderful daughters and one noble son, and he got along very well, to these sisters, I pay tribute to them, each having their marriage sealed in the temple. To my associates through the years, I pay tribute to them, who've all lifted me up and made me a better servant. Their names are too numerous to mention, but I honor them and pray that the Lord will always bless them. I've loved every assignment I've ever had in the kingdom, and in that service, every day seemed like Sunday because it was in the service of the Lord. And now I'd like to report briefly on our experience in Europe. I thank the First Presidency that Sister Worthen and I have had to preside in the Europe area of the Church. These past 2 years have been thrilling and filled with tremendous experiences that we shall never forget. The following expression from a devoted church member living in Eastern Europe vividly demonstrates what I mean. He said, "If you could only see the faith and enthusiasm of our members here, believe me, our religion is the only thing left for us, and we dearly love it." Whether we live in Eastern Europe or not, this truth, like a towering mountain, stands out. Our religion is really the only thing that we have left ultimately, and we love it dearly. This eternal truth was demonstrated many times during our two-year sojourn in the Europe area. This area stretches from the far north of Finland, Sweden, Norway, to the southernmost tip of Africa, and includes about 230,000 members of the church. I'd like to share a few of the experiences that have kept our faith burning brightly. In Portugal, in the city of Funchal, on the Madeira Island, a lady by the name of Ascensão Frangão had been a nun for 20 years. As a matter of fact, she was a mother superior at the home for poor children and orphans. Toward the end of a four-year teaching assignment early in her life as a nun, doctors discovered a cancer in her throat. Her mother had died of this same disease. Although she knew that her deteriorating health might lead to certain death, she had a strong feeling that she had not finished her work on earth. She prayed with great faith for the restoration of her health and was healed with no further problems or need for medical care. When her church decided to close the children's home where she was assigned, she maintained it herself for 4 years using an inheritance she had received from her deceased parents until the children living there were reared and on their own or adopted. Hearing of a new religion, she attended her first meeting of our church with a friend out of curiosity. It was held on the dirt floor of a member's garage, but the spirit of the meeting impressed her. The elders began teaching her the discussions and challenged her to be baptized. She declined, saying that she had already been baptized. The elders persisted by inviting her to read the Book of Mormon. The elders told her, "If this book is true, is the true word of God, then Joseph Smith is a true prophet, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is true. If so, you need to be baptized into God's true church." She read the Book of Mormon and gained a strong testimony of its divinity. Later, she stopped the missionaries after a discussion of the Godhead and requested baptism. Just 1 year afterwards, she stood on the doorstep of President Reuben P. Ficklin's mission home in Lisbon. She obtained her temple recommend and could hardly wait to enter the Swiss temple to pledge sacred covenants with her Heavenly Father. In Sweden, Bishop Christer Stenhall of the Lutheran Church visited the Stockholm Temple a few days prior to dedication. He had this inspiring description of his experience as published in a prominent Swedish newspaper. And I quote, "Imagine that a new, gleaming white temple with slender pinnacles and towers has been erected to the glory of God. Not a church, not a chapel, but a temple for sacred ordinances performed quietly and in solemn dignity. A temple where the innermost room is named the celestial. A temple where the faithful perform vicarious work according to Paul's statement on baptism for the dead. All in consequence of the wisdom and calling of Joseph Smith. What shall we think and say about this? To pretend that it does not concern us, that the Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, have built a temple in our midst would be conceited or condescending. Therefore, I will rejoice with them over this temple that they have erected with much sacrifice and glory to God. To experience their joy and pride over the beauty of the temple warms one's heart in a special way." End of quote. President Thomas S. Monson has given me permission to share with you his impressions when he rededicated the German Democratic Republic for the advancement of the work of the Church. I quote from him. "At 7:30 a.m., April 27, 1975, we traveled to the location which had been selected for the special prayer which I felt prompted to offer in this land. We walked through the woods into a clearing overlooking the Elbe River, with Meissen on the right and Dresden on the left, Meissen being the birthplace of Carl G. Mazur, the founder of Brigham Young University. During the prayer, I said, 'Today marks the dawning of a new beginning for this beautiful land. As I used these words, we heard the unmistakable sound of a rooster crowing, followed by the pealing of a cathedral bell in the distance. The day had been overcast, but during the prayer, the sun shone brilliantly upon us, warming our bodies and giving us the assurance that our Heavenly Father was pleased with the prayer which was being offered as we returned to our automobiles. The sun disappeared from the sky, and the overcast condition which previously existed once again prevailed. In his prayer of rededication, President Monson said, "Heavenly Father, wilt thou open up the way that the faithful may be accorded the privilege of going to thy holy temple, there to receive their holy endowments and to be sealed as families for time and all eternity." End of quote. This prayer was offered on Sunday, April 27, 1975, at a time when any thought of a temple was beyond the realm of possibility. It was fulfilled on June 29, 1985, with a dedication of the beautiful temple in Freiburg. As you know, temples are now or soon will be within the reach of many members in the Europe area, from the Stockholm, Sweden temple in the north to the Johannesburg, South Africa temple to the south, with the London and Swiss temples in between. Many lands in this Europe area are becoming the lands of temples. The Frankfurt temple, located in a suburb named Friedrichsdorf, which was an early settlement of the Huguenots, is nearing completion. The building of these temples in the Europe area is a modern-day miracle. Temple work is proceeding at an accelerating pace. And then we travel to Ghana in West Africa. There the church is growing rapidly and on a very solid footing. We traveled along the beautiful coast to a chapel that recently had been completed. After holding a meeting there, we traveled through the village of Cape Coast with President Sister Miller. As the sun was setting, we saw a large crowd of villagers, young and old and middle-aged. All were pulling on the huge net and drawing it out of the water. We stopped and inquired about what they were doing. They were pulling in the fish caught that day. In the net were large fish and small ones and many kinds. Each villager put his hands to the net to help bring in the catch. The thought ran through my mind of the gathering of Israel in the last days as referred to in Jeremiah. The Lord said, "I will send for many fishers, and they shall fish them." That, brethren and sisters, is the mission of all of us as members of the church, to put our hands on the net and pull in thousands of fine men and women who are searching for the truth. With this kind of effort, the Europe area has pulled in these nets of converts, with a 33% increase in the number of convert baptisms in 2 years. As I reflect upon our experiences in Europe, these thoughts impress me. The gospel of Jesus Christ is more enduring than fame, more precious than riches, more to be desired than happiness. Understanding and living the gospel leads to the possession of a Christ-like character. The aim of each of us is to live a great and exemplary life. A noble character is needed, especially in this age when evil is rampant. And I should like to caution our youth to live the gospel and develop strong character and not indulge in those things that deviate from righteousness. Our Heavenly Father has endowed us with hearts of courage and faith, with strong wills, and with the ability to understand and to see clearly the difference between right and wrong. He has mercifully clothed us, each member, with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so even though the tasks of life become heavy and although sorrow thrusts a drooping burden upon us, the light that emanates from our Savior beckons us on undismayed. A righteous self-discipline can and will rule our lives. And so, brethren and sisters, in closing, I want to say that this is the way we tried to represent the church in Europe. I testify that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ, that President Ezra Taft Benson is prophet, seer, and revelator, and that he bears the keys of the kingdom. I love this church with all my heart and will do my best to serve. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.